Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues.
Hello, and welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. I'm Phyllis Austin. I am your host today. And, you know, I really just hope everything is coming in today because my screen looks pretty interesting. So we're just going to hope that it's working fine. I don't know how to get back over to where I should be. So we're going to just hope that everything is coming along great. Okay? Today's show is called It Takes a Village. It's actually the second show in our Developing Greatness. It's the second part of Developing Greatness. Last week we talked about calling all parents, and we talked about the roles from the greatest of grandparents to godparents. And today we're looking at the role of villagers, that old African saying, Proverbs, take the village to raise a child. And we're talking about developing greatness. I remember when people say, well, you know, it takes a village. And I would say, yeah, but you have to decide. As a parent, you have to decide who is in your village, okay? But we're not leaving it up to decision-making today. We're just going to talk about, in general terms, of the roles that we should play in developing greatness in our next generation. So today, feel free to call in our call. You know what? I just realized that, oh my gosh. Okay, we're going to, let's see what's going on here. okay, let's see. Okay, great. We got it back. Okay, now I see the screen because I say my screen was off. And I was like, I just realized, you know, I couldn't see the callers, but that's back on now. Our call in number is 347-855-8603. Again, our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Okay, so that's going to be awesome. If you looked at the picture that's posted, it is of a village, and it's this huge crocodile. I don't know if it's a crocodile or alligator, but someone told me, depending on where you live, in the southern part or the northern part of the world. So I believe it's a crocodile. There's this huge crocodile. And I really invite you to look at that awesome picture. And the villagers are standing around. And someone shot the picture. And it's a very huge crocodile, by the way. I thought about it. I said, you know, the picture just indicates such a powerful message. It indicates that we all are responsible for feeding and nurturing one another in the village. Okay? We all are responsible for feeding and nurturing one another in the village. And that's what we are. So let's talk about the role of the villagers. And again, I invite you to call in, and our call in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. I think the first role is all of us in the village, except for maybe some of those young people, the youth, you know, until they hit about 13 or 14. We're responsible for self-regulation, keeping the standard. And I think that's very important with you as a villager. When you decide who is going to be a part of your village, and even those people who are just everyday in our communities, our society, we are responsible for self-regulation. upholding the standard, you know, having ourselves under control and exercising independency, independently of governmental supervision and laws. And I take a look at this because that's a role that we all must play. Are we, especially once we're that 13, 14 age group and above, and I'm going to tell you why 13 and 14 is very important. Matter of fact, let me tell you now. I remember hearing from one of my villagers, I don't know if I was in a science class or elder, and I remember he stated, you know, 13 or 14 is a very defining role, especially for the young male child, okay? Because that is the age when they reach out to try to exert independence and entering the man role. And that image of who's in front of them is going to be very important of how they become a man. And it was at that 13, 14-year-old age. And I remember, I truly remember that was around the time that I got married and my children and their stepfather came into play, into their lives. And I, for my son, I never forget this, never, never. He wanted to ride his bike up to the corner store. Actually, it wasn't even the corner store. It was like about half a mile away. We're in the South. He wanted to just ride his bike. And I was like, oh, no. And I remember his stepfather said, let him go ride his bike. He's a boy. And he just kind of took off, and he's been taking off ever since, okay? And I just remember, what would I have done or called if I would have restricted him, his natural growth pattern to expand his horizons as a young person. And he had started his business where he was producing flyers and handing them out for businesses in the neighborhood, and he would get paid for it. He handed out the flyers for the couple businesses in the neighborhood. And that was his own way of making money, becoming independent in his growth. And so that was a very important role. And what did that take? That took right then and there. You know, I talked last week about the role that my brothers played in the raising of my children before I got married, even throughout the marriage and everything. But they were in a different state, okay? So he was really about to see that role, but because that information, I got that information from a villager, and I was more open to when he reached that age, and I could pull from that knowledge and that advice and say, oh, this is what's going on, okay, and to allow my husband at the time to be an intricate part of showing or help aiding my son on the path of what that role as a man looks like. So those are the roles that are very important that villagers play. And the children are looking up to see how the villagers act, how they respond to conflict, how they carry themselves. That's very important. And before we go to break, I want to say, I remember being a young girl in Chicago, and I watched the villagers, the older women in society. I thought they were really old, but, you know, as you grow up, they really like 25, 26 or something like that, maybe 30, but the older roles, okay? And I remember hearing some stories from my mother and the older roles of how they played out. And I tell you one thing, the one thing I remember was when women left the house, they were already groomed, properly groomed. They didn't wear hair rollers to the street, rags on their head,
they were already prepared to go out into the world. And the same thing with men. Men were already prepared to go out into the world. So they didn't walk. They walked with a certain finesse, a certain standard. And I understood that. So those are the roles that they are, the young people are really keeping an eye on you. And even now, because our roles have gotten so loose, okay, our dress have gotten so loose and really somewhat inappropriate, I think, that's my opinion. That's a, I think so, okay, being a teacher, that we, that the, our youth are not as diverse to me as far as having knowledge of how they should respond. They tend to dress and behave, when one dress and behave the same way in the various different environments that they come in contact with, from the job interview to the church to the tutorial service to the on the job. There's this, our youth are not rapidly matriculate into our society as I think as quickly as we did as young people. You're listening to class. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and we're talking about the villagers' roles in developing greatness. We're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back, not only continuing our show, but with a very important announcement about our national classroom, and I am going to love making this announcement. So let's go to commercial break, and we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin. You know, parenting is very difficult. I don't know too many parents who can raise a child to 18 years of age without getting stuck, not knowing what to do. So I would like you to visit householddna.com and view the Household DNA Parenting Pyramid. Learn about the 7 principles of parenting, 4 of which you should be actively doing every day. Next, visit phyllisaustin.com and click on the Power Bookstore for great parent resources. You can pick up my latest book, God Has Not Forgotten You, written for teenagers and college students. While there, get your copy of my ever-popular book, From Parent to Power, Don't Parent in Fear. Visit Austin, PhyllisAustin.com today for your book and parent resources. Thank you. Okay, and welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. Today we're talking about the second show or second lesson in our series of developing greatness. It's one of 2 lessons. And we're talking about the role of villagers. It takes a village, the role of villagers. But before we continue with our show, I definitely want to talk about our national online classroom. We are, I think we will be able to receive the first of guests next week to introduce them to probably our future. Well, it's going to be our future. It's going to be awesome. And I'm excited. So as you listen to this broadcast, make sure that after listening, you go to our National Online Classroom, the forum, because that is a group. That's our Facebook group. And that will allow us to post more effectively and efficiently. Okay, as far as updating you on what's going on with our national classroom. So please do that. But like I say, next week, the week after next, because next week, I guess, officially begins tomorrow, Sunday. So let's say the week after that, we will start inviting you in, and that whole part, that week after next, okay? So that would be the week of the 15th, Monday being the 15th, right? Yeah. Monday being the 15th, Sunday being the 14th. The week beginning the 14th, we will start inviting you in that whole week. We will be just really revealing to you the class week. And after that week, okay, we will go back and do some prep so we can really start our first lesson right here during the month of June. So it's going to start opening. You will start to see it, your invites and everything. Then, of course, it will be an open link for people to come in. And we will also discuss the strategy of how we're going to educate 700, our number 750,000 parents.
per year. Why? Because we are going to include them. That's a part of our village. We can't be self-serving. As adults, we have to open up and understand that it's not about just our children. Our children getting a proper education, developing greatness, we all have to. We all are children, because that is how we have a great community. So it's going to be wonderful, and I've just decided this week was very challenging. But let's continue with our show. I want to talk about the role of women. Okay. I say that I would look up, I will, as a young girl in Chicago, I would look up to the older ladies. And it was amazing, because when they would come out the house, they would be properly groomed, okay? And even now as an adult, there are times when I run out the house. I don't go very far, okay? I go and I come. But I always try to make sure I look presentable when I step out, because I understand someone is looking up to me. And that's just a part of me being a part of the village, not me being the parent, but being a part of the village, that someone, I may be the only role model or the quick flash or that a person, that a child may come across and say, wow, I may break the tradition of what that child sees every day. And I didn't know I was a role model. When I first entered education, I was a young person. I didn't understand my importance of being the role model, being self-regulated in terms of being the role model for younger people, okay, younger girls and boys. I didn't get that until I reached the threshold and really crossed over into my 30s. Then I started to get it, okay? I have a philosophy. A belief. I don't really hold anything as far as what people do in their 20s and teens. I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. It's when I start saying, okay, you're 30, you should know better. But 20s, kind of give people a break. Let's not just hold them to being that old person, especially when they have removed themselves from that age a long time ago. They are far removed from that age, I should say, especially when they are far removed from that age. When they're 50, you still hold them and talking about stuff they did in their 20s and teens, and they haven't exhibited that behavior in 30 years, okay? But as a woman, I think we are to teach young girls and young women how to be women. And as the next statement, the role, I think it's very important. As the woman goes, so does the family and society. When I was giving parent support groups in DeKalb County Jail, I remember asking the lady who actually brought me in, I said, what do you think happened? And she said, well, you know, crack was the first drug that really took the woman out the household. And it kind of destroyed more families than we ever could absorb in our society and in our communities. And that, to me, I have not heard anyone who can prove that not to be true. So as the woman goes, so does family and society. So as women, we have to be the initiators and the maintenance people for the standard. Okay, we can't just let anyone come into our house or our spiritual temple, meaning our body, okay? And I think we also play the role of the greatest messengers. We are raised as women to pay attention to our intuition as a guide and really listen to what's going on, observe, and to have our pulse on reality. And we teach especially our young girls, how to really pay attention to women's intuition, because it's a guide. It tells us what's really going on. I think that's our spirit speaking to us, and we're the greatest messengers. So I think that is our role as the villager, as a woman being in the village. Every day, whether you're a parent or not, the role of a woman, those three roles. One, to teach young women how to be women, okay? As two, to understand our role as important entity in the family, because as we become wives and mothers, as we go, so does the family and society. And sometimes we have to put the brakes on family destructive behavior. You know, say that's just not going to happen in this family. We have a standard here. And also the role of being one of the greatest messengers, because we are taught to listen to our intuition. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. We're talking about villagers' roles in developing greatness. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll be right back with the man's role and the elder's role.
Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you.
And that message is very important, especially as we enter into our national online classroom. It's very important for you to donate, and I think sometimes people just want to see what's going on. So trust me, you will see what's going on beginning next week, okay? It is going to be awesome, the week of the 14th being Sunday, and that's going to be just really great. Let's talk about the role of men. And if you're out there listening, please call in, because I want to, for men, I would love to hear your opinion. You know, I'm a woman, so sometimes I might not get it correct, okay? Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. So let's go ahead and talk about our role as, or the men's role in the village. You know, I always hear this role. I think it's a really good role, the protector. The protector. The protector. You know, protect your family. Well, let's go back. Before you protect your family, select your family. And so you, and that selection is very important, because that's your legacy. That's your legacy. So before you protect her, the protector of the family, select your family. And even if you don't have family, you're a protector of the village, because that's, as our community, that's our legacy, okay? It's the role as a protector. And I love when, you know, my neighbor, I remember he hadn't seen the car or something once, and he knocked on the door. And he's an older guy. He always going to tell his age. He always say, you know, I'm the older one in the neighborhood. I'm 82 years old. And he's a guy. So not only is he the protector, one of the protectors of the neighborhood, he's also one of the elders. We're going to get to that in a little while. But as the protector, he said, you know, I sit in my window. I can't do much, but I sit in my window, and I watch what's going on in the neighborhood. I just want to watch out for everybody out here. Say, you know, you guys over here and they over there. He's protecting, and he does a very good job at that. And so we have to be willing. We have to have that role in our neighborhood. You leave the whole neighborhood unprotected when the men are not in the neighborhood. They're the protectors, okay? And they also control their legacy. they also control their legacy. And it's very important for them to select the right people to bear their children, the wives, or the wife, excuse me, not wives as an individual, but the husbands to select the wife, the right people to bear their children, because that's a legacy. It's time out for having a lot of children by a lot of different women, okay? For one, you're not emotionally, physically, or mentally protecting your family, and it is your legacy. So you have to select your legacy, and you have to protect your legacy via your family. So they are the protectors of the community. Now, a lot of people say they are breadwinners. They have to be the breadwinner. Well, you know, that's going to be left up to how that family decides to do things. I'll tell you why. Because everyone has creative talent. Everyone, men, women, they both have creative talents. So when you have these creative talents that can generate, that can earn revenue and generate wealth, you know, it's a question to whether they have to be the biggest breadwinner in the family, okay? I'm going to let you guys decide that. And if someone wants to call in, a man wants to call in and talk about the breadwinner status, that's fine. But definitely, the protector and the control of your legacy is very important. And just like the woman has to be the messenger and that nursery component of people in the community, the men have to be the protector. I remember someone said, if you see a child with a runny nose, the village is going to say, where's your mama? But if you see a child out there, a little boy, just running wild and stealing everything, somebody's going to say, who's your daddy? Where's your daddy? Okay? Because they're off track in their role going into manhood, and we as women are not doing our role in nurturing the children. Okay? Let's move on to the role of elders. It's funny. You look up, and one day you're the elder role. And you don't know when you're the elder role until someone really comes up to you and say, I look up to you. And the person who's telling you this is 38. You're like, oh, my God. So when you have 38-year-olds looking up to you, and I'm 52 or 53. I can't remember how old I'm going to be this year. 52. I'm going to be 52 this year. When you have 38-year-olds looking up to you and say to you, I admire how you did that, how you raised your children, and they're looking up for advice, you're the elder, okay? And before I got married, it was funny, I looked up to people. I remember a couple in Chicago. I don't think it's inappropriate to say their names, the Williams, Richard and Dolores. I send them kudos. An older couple in Chicago, Richard and Dolores Williams. I looked up to them, and then when I got here, I looked up to my neighbors before I was married to see how they interacted in their marriage, and so I got a lot of advice. So I read and I looked up to people, and they were my elder in the neighborhood, and so in my village. And so when other people come and they look up to me, and I'm like, wow, now I'm the elder. And usually, I give a number for elders. I'm going to say 40. I'm 40 years old. And when you talk about the village, a lot of people, 40 was an old age back then. And 40 represents, is a spiritual number for transformation. Okay? So it plays a really important role. 40 is a spiritual number for transformation. And as an elder, you want to give wisdom. So if you're 40, I'm going to say you're an elder, okay? You're an elder. And you should be complete around that time. It's 40. Your transformation is done, hopefully, where you are not giving advice that's truly, where you are giving advice that's truly for the benefit of others. And as you grow into your role as an elder, as you get older, in 45, 50, 55, your role and your advice becomes less and less self-serving. It's really for the benefit of others, okay? It's really for the benefit of others. And elders, the elder role is truly, it's an honorary role to me. It's a role of someone is honoring you to seek out your advice. And you are, it's about wisdom. And it's about eliciting wisdom and good judgment for the benefit of others and not as self-serving to yourself. And sometimes as an elder, because we're older, we understand that sometimes when people don't take advice, it's nothing personal. They may have to grow to take advice. But we also understand that our presentation matters as an elder. We should be past the point of being very emotional, yelling, and shutting the door on someone because they don't perform the way we want them to perform. In our role as an elder, we should understand peace, that we resolve issues at the individual's highest level of, highest level of good for the individuals involved. When there's conflict, we should, our role is to resolve conflict in the highest good for everyone involved. We should not be so emotional. We should be able to hold our tongue as an elder. Okay, we speak life and death. I mean, think about it. If there's a child in the room and you get past the mother, you get past the grandmother, and there's a group of elders in that grandmother's realm, okay, sitting in the room. Can you imagine how what the child's going to think about their future? Is everything is so negative, and that child's in earshot? And I applaud the elders who were around me. They had wisdom, and they knew not to say things in earshot of the child. So it's a very important role as an elder, okay? And I think elders remind, what came to mind was this 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I talked like a child. I think the older version, King James Version, I spoke as a child, but I pulled this from a different version. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And that's what I think about elders, because elders are reminding the women and the men through their demonstration, not only what they say, but also through demonstration, their behavior, that it's time for you to put the ways of childhood behind you. Okay? It's time to put those ways behind you. You are transitioning every day. You're moving up in your spiritual growth every day, and it's time to start putting those. You are entering a different role each year in a new season. So the elders kind of keep these in place, and I see this a lot, even on the jobs that people have when they come talk to me about their job. Is a lot of companies like, we're going to get rid of the older people. And in education, oh my God, when you get rid of the older people, the teachers who've been there, you know, it's a combination that works in education. You need the young teachers for the energy for the energy. You need those young teachers for energy. They need to be the coaches there at the end of two in their lives. You need them for the energy. Woo, you need them for the energy. You also need young teachers because they tech savvy. They're going to keep up. There's constantly new information coming in. But the older teachers, we're the ones, gosh, it's me now, we're the ones who kind of let you keep you grounded. And I got through with a lot of elders, Ms. Colston, Ms. Walker. Those were elders in the schools that I taught in. They helped me stay grounded. I would come to them for a piece of advice. They'd be like, oh, don't worry about that. That will fade away, and you pay attention to this. So this is how you do it. This is how you survive working with 150 kids directly every day, and being around 1,000 kids every day in that environment of 1,000-plus kids. And that's what our community needs. Don't worry about this. That elder grandparent is going to tell that young parent, okay, don't say that to your child. That's wisdom. They're elders. They understand. So everyone plays a role, and we in our community and villagers. And as a parent, your individual, as a parent, your individual family, sometimes you have to select out of the villagers that group that's going to be right there in terms of being a part of your village. And then you have that spending, but all of us in our community should play the role of villagers every day, from the woman's role to the man's role to the elder's role, okay? Because our youth, sometimes they're just foolish. And if when they come of age at 13 and 14, they're going to look up. And they are involved. In their individual families, they're looking at the roles that people are playing, okay? And if it's a lot of chaos, we don't have a lot of time. We might not have a second chance to make a positive impression once they start to look outside of the individual family for the role that they're going to grow into. Okay, the person that they're going to grow into, the role that they're going to take on, and the person that they're going to grow into. Next week on Classroom DNA, we're going to talk about bringing the whole Our National Classroom into flourishing, visible manifestation. It's an awesome journey that we're about to embark on. We can't do without you. And we love the fact that many of you have already stated your commitment, that we are all going to be involved in this journey, the education of our parents, and the developing the greatness of our youth in our communities. So until next week, this has been Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and I look forward to you returning next week. Until then, have a great, spectacular day. And as we do always, we're going to end our show with "You Are a Winner."